Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Where Is There podcast. I'm Jay O'Hare, and I'm here with Todd Musselman.
Hello, everybody.
This is number two.
Number two of the journey. 10,000 hours.
The 10,000 hours. Yes. Golly.
Yeah.
So we got our pot of coffee going, so
yes,
we can keep
we'll be here for a while.
So this episode is entitled Where Is There, which is really the title of the whole series.
Yeah.
And because you want to talk a little bit about that important question of where is there.
Thanks for that, Jay. I do. I want to first remind everybody that the context that I set for all these talks is I don't have the truth. And so this is just my perspective, my opinion of the human condition as I see it. And I think where is there is a really fun question to look at. And I think it's got a tremendous amount of depth to it, actually. And I think it's probably one of the most important questions that I know to ask is where is there. And what I mean by that is, you know, so many times I might say, hey, Jay, how's it going? And you'll say, well, I'm almost there. I'm getting there.
Right.
As if there's some place to get.
Yeah.
Called there.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating to me is I've never, ever met anybody that's there. That's what's so funny. Like, where are we all trying to get to called there? I wish somebody could show me there. It's a lot of fascination with this place called there, but yet I've never seen it. I've never met anybody that's there.
Because once they think they're there, then there's a new there.
Could we be there in a moment? Sure, but there is no permanence to there.
Yeah.
And yet I believe that most of us think there is, and what's inside of there that's so much better than here? What do we think is in there that's better than here? And the other thing I think is kind of interesting is a lot of us have the belief that other people we know are there.
Oh, totally.
Oh, they're there.
Yes. You see it on Facebook all the time.
Oh,
they are there for sure.
Oh, no, they're not. Because, well, maybe, at least in my perspective, they're not, because I've never met anybody that's there. In other words, I've never met anybody that's got it all figured out, Jay.
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the things that there represents. I've got it all figured out. If I could just get there, I'd have it all figured out. And I think the thing they want to figure out is an answer to an incredibly important question.
Which is, what question would that be?
Well, the question is the same question that we all ask ourselves, I think, on an almost habitual basis. Certainly, it's the question we ask ourselves when we're up against it. It's the question we ask ourselves when things don't go right, when we've been rejected. It's the same question that keeps us back from really going for life in so many ways. And the problem with the question is, before I unveil the question, that the problem is that no one ever told us it's an unanswerable question.
Mm.
So we spend most of our life trying to answer a question that has no answer. I mean, they didn't tell us in elementary school. They didn't tell us in junior high school. They didn't tell us in high school or
That doesn't seem fair.
It doesn't seem fair. So we spend a lot of time trying to answer a question that can't be answered. And we do it in some pretty interesting ways, at least to me. So the question is, am I good enough?
Am I good enough?
If I could just get an answer to that question, I would be there, Jay.
Mm.
I would honestly, if I could answer that 100% once and for all, am I good enough, and come up with an affirmative answer, yes, I am, then I think I would be there.
You would be there.
But I've never met anybody that has answered that question. Mm. Never.
And so is it because, so you said because that question is an unanswerable question.
Yeah.
It's an elusive.
Well, who could answer it for us? Is there some website you can go to and
take a test? Well, the likes.
Maybe there's enough likes. Maybe it's 2 billion likes if we get 2 billion likes.
Followers.
Or maybe there's a guru that you can go see in Tibet that will give you the answer or whatever. No, there's nobody that can validate that. And yet,
great point.
You know, we spend a lot of time, and in my experience, do some really like kind of crazy things to try to answer that question, am I enough? And so, you know, why is this so important? To me, awareness is the first point of choice. Until I'm aware of what triggers me in my life, I can't choose out of it. And as I experience my own life and the people that I work with, I see a couple patterns. I really believe that almost all upset you can distill down to one of two things, to one of two reasons. One is I'm believing the thought I'm not good enough in this moment and it pisses me off. Mm. Or somebody's challenging my good enoughness and that really pisses me off. That's one, they're kind of grouped together. The other reason that we have upset in our life is we believe something should be different than it actually is. So those honestly, for me, if you just kind of broke everything down in the world of upset, if you looked at why am I getting upset in this moment, it comes down to probably one of those two things. And why is that important to get? Well, again, until I really get what's triggering my upset, I can't choose out of it. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about just to make sure that we're on the same page. Let's say you and your wife are driving down Main Street and you're going to turn right on Fifth Street. And somewhere around Third Street, your partner says this to you. Hey, Jay, you're going to turn right on Fifth Street, aren't you?
Had that happen.
And how'd it go? Were you psyched?
Not that psyched.
No, what happened? What got triggered in you?
Well, like I know what I'm doing. Like, yes. Why are you questioning
my enoughness?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what happens as a consequence to that typically is now I go to wherever we're going and I'm pissed off for the next 30 or 40 minutes of that event.
Yeah.
And because somebody challenged my enoughness. Now, a lot of the times those little interactions are done with the best of intentions. Your partner didn't mean to challenge your enoughness. Your partner was trying to be helpful in that case, but that's not how it lands.
Let me bring it back just one second here, because the question is, where is there?
Yeah.
There is a construct, if you will, of an enoughness of someone.
Yes, exactly.
That once I am enough in either my eyes or somebody else's eyes or some sort of thing, that then there is achieved.
There is achieved. Yes, you will have created a sense of bliss and fulfillment unlike anybody in the history of our species. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I probably am. Some of you might be listening thinking I am.
Well, no, I think it makes a lot of sense that there's, I mean, look, it's very natural for people to strive for things, to try to achieve things and have goals and that sort of thing. So, yeah. So do you have like what's an example of
there?
Of there.
Yeah.
Of there.
Yeah. So, you know, let's just, most of us when we're in our 20s have this thought, man, if I make $25,000 in 1 year, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I make $25,000 in 1 year, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And you made the 25 grand, Jay, were you there?
No.
No. So then you think, well, maybe it was 45,000 or maybe it's $145,000. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that number can keep going up and up and up. And I don't think it's ever enough.
There's a car, or it's a house, or it's the kids, or it's the job,
whatever,
or it's
that
the
is.
Title,
yes.
Or it's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but is there anything wrong with trying to strive for those?
Oh, absolutely not. I think it's great. I love goals, but yeah. I want to also get really present. They're there to drive behavior.
Hmm.
There is no permanence to there.
Hmm.
But what, you know, a lot of people have experienced, me too, of having a sense of satisfaction when you reach a goal, but why is it satisfying?
I think it could be satisfying for a number of reasons. I mean, one is, it's something that you want to achieve and you do it. And now you have this sense of accomplishment.
You're there.
Mm-hmm. You're good enough, right? You were good enough to achieve that. Enough. There's that word enough again.
You just nailed it.
Yeah.
Most people, when they think of hitting a goal, think the good feeling comes from the achievement that, you know, but really what it is to me anyway is I get to check the box that I'm enough.
Mm.
And it feels damn good in that moment. Let me show you how funny this is. For a little while anyway, we had this incredible zany craze around this thing called Pokemon Go. and people were insane about it.
Yeah.
To the point where they walked into traffic.
Yes.
And why? What was the big deal? Why what was going on that would have me be willing to literally be so distracted that I would walk into traffic. Every time I got a Pokemon Go, guess what I got to do? Check the box that I'm enough. Mm. And it's such a drug that I just got to keep going. I can't get enough of it.
And it's, and it, yeah, and it becomes a part of your focus. And
totally.
And, yeah.
And so what's so funny about this thing called there is, if I'm trying to get there, I can't be in the most amazing, magical, fantastical place in the human experience. It's called here, this present moment. Mm. There is a giant distraction. It's a colossal waste of time and energy, at least to me, because it's a fool's errand. There is no there. Mm-hmm. There's only here. And it's in the here and now. That's on our way to get there. That's where the magic of life unfolds. It's not getting to the destination. It's the journey to get there. All the time we're spending in this moment.
The journey to get there. Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
paying attention
to me anyway. If I'm thinking about a place that doesn't exist called there, I can't possibly be here. In other words, here is the only there that would ever be worth pursuing.
Yeah.
I mean, let me just say that one more time. Here, this present moment, is the only there that would ever be worth pursuing. Again, what's the relevance to all this? Well, if I can see that I've been trying to answer a question that can't be answered, what would it be like if I just got that? And more importantly, here's the irony, is you're always enough in this moment.
Yeah.
In this moment, you're always enough. When we start bringing our past or some crazy made-up future into this moment, that's where the not enoughness comes from. But when we're actually present, there's no thought of our enoughness ever. That's why it's so magical. So how does this manifest in the real life?
Are there examples or?
Yeah, I've got lots of them. I mean, I think a great example, I mean, just our quest to be enough, I guess, is what I'm saying, to answer that question. You know, some people on this listening work inside of a job where they get paid to work for 40 hours a week, and yet they work 60 hours a week. And what I notice is most people in the working world, they want one thing that they don't currently have, and that's time. When I ask inside of trainings, what's one thing you want in your life you don't currently have? The predominant answer I get, Jay, is time. Time to spend with my kids, time to work out, time to go on a hike, time to go fishing, time to do whatever I want for me, but I don't have the time. And I say, well, that's really interesting. How many hours a week do you work? Well, I work at least 60. I say, well, have you ever done the math on that? Mm. What do you mean by that? Well, if you work 60 hours a week and you get paid for 40, you've donated 47 days a year back to your employer for free.
For free.
That's a lot. What could you do with 40? It's actually 43 days. What could you do with 43 days of your life? And why would I, more importantly, why am I willing to do that? Why am I willing to work for free?
Because you want to be seen. They want to be seen as good enough.
As good enough.
Yeah.
Or said differently, I'm shit scared to be not good enough mm-hmm. for my boss. Now, some people work 60 hours a week because they truly love their job. Good for you. But my experience is a lot of people aren't doing that. They're working out of fear, not out of love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're choosing fear over love. And the fear is that I'm not going to be good enough for my boss. And my God, that would be a nightmare. So I'll just keep putting the time in.
And so when we focus on those things and we do that, what are some of the consequences of focusing on there as opposed to being present here?
Yeah. Connection.
Okay.
Connection with themselves, with the people they love, with mm-hmm. what they're up to. You know, so many people that I work with anyway are in the world of distraction. And the distraction is really about being enough. Let me give you a simple example. Your phone is a great one right now. We have created a device that has created a lot of distraction. And, you know, the phone, phones are, they're amazing. They create connectivity for sure, but they also create disconnection. And so let's say that my phone is in my pocket, Jay, and it buzzes and it doesn't even ring So I'm in a conversation with you, and we're having an awesome conversation. This thing buzzes. It doesn't even ring. Have you ever noticed what people do? They pull it out. They don't even know who it is. That's the funny thing.
Sure.
They have no idea
who
it is.
There must be something more important
somebody more important who might be able to answer the question.
Am I good enough? Am I important enough?
That I'm enough.
Yeah.
It's one of the neediest, creepiest things you could do as a human being, to pull that phone out when you don't even know who it is and interrupt the most amazing thing on the planet, which is a conversation. And what's so funny is you watch them, they pull it out, and if it's their mom, it just goes right back in their pocket. But if it's my boss, you don't mind if I take this, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Because he might validate my enoughness and my there-ness more than you.
Yeah.
So
it happens all the time.
All the time. And so, again, for me, what's this all about? They're so interconnected, there and enough. They're the same thing. If I could just get there, I would be completely fulfilled and happy. Of course you would. If you could ever answer that question such that it never existed again, you would be 100% fulfilled and happy. No doubt about it. And again, I've never met anybody that's answered that question. And, you know, some people on listening to this might think, well, that doesn't go on for me. I know I'm enough. I'm like, okay. I had a guy on the train just say that the other day. So funny to me. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, do you ever have the experience of being defensive? He goes, well, sure. Well, I said, well, where does that come from? What do you mean? Well, as far as I know, how could you ever be offended if you always knew you were enough?
Great point. Great point.
Where does that come from?
Yeah.
It's the experience of not being enough. Somebody's challenging my enoughness. That's why I get defensive. Why else would you be defensive?
So it's phones. It's those things. It's likes on Facebook, the little red dot that's up on the corner there that says you.
I'm enough.
There's been activity. Somebody's done something about what you posted or whatever, for sure.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not exempt from this. I'm a giant fly fisherman, and why do I do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons I do it, but one of the things is every time I hook a fish, guess what I get to do? Check the box.
Yeah.
I outsmarted a creature with a brain the size of less than a pea. Good for me.
Right.
But it does give me that sense.
Yes.
Of course. And you know, what's funny is that I'll be on the shore and I'll look down and some days, you know, some days you don't have it going on and you look down and some guy's just ripping them. And what do you think I come to the conclusion?
I'm not enough. He's got it.
He's there.
He's got it.
That guy's got it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, listen, it's something that we look around and keeping up with the Joneses and
comparing our there-ness with their there-ness.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, who doesn't do that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's somebody's website we're marveling at. Oh, they must be, because their website's awesome. Or maybe we have the experience that their kids are amazing and they must be there as parents. They must be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they make a certain amount of money. Well, they're there. But again,
if I was there.
Yeah.
If I was there, it'd be dialed. Like,
yes,
it'd be done.
Yes.
It'd be great.
Yeah. So again, what's the value? Why is this so important to me? Because I want to choose out of upset as much as I can. Like, if I don't know why I'm upset, like, that leads to nothing. Like, if I can become aware of what's upsetting me, if I become aware that really what's being challenged right now is my enoughness, and my partner doesn't even mean to be doing that, but that's my experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, going back to the dishwasher.
Yeah.
That example I gave in the first time, when you're loading it and somebody comes in and says, hey, you're not doing that right. Pisses you off. Why? Because they're challenging your enoughness.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
Even though that's not their intention.
How can goals and aspiring for things be helpful to us?
I think they're incredibly helpful. Again, I hope my message isn't being perceived as don't go for goals. And that I couldn't be. No, I'm all about goals. I think they're awesome. I just want to get what they're there for.
To help with the journey.
Yeah, to drive a behavior.
Yeah.
And to have me, you know, going for something. I love that. And I also want to be aware that no matter what it is that I get, whether I win the Super Bowl or I climb to the top of Mount Everest or whatever that is, there's no permanence to that. I mean, the moment somebody wins a Super Bowl, what do you think they're thinking about within the next 20 minutes?
Yeah. How do I do this again?
The next one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but that just shows you there's no permanence. There's no there. And my guess is if they've distilled that down, the real value of the whole experience was when they were actually playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the result. And sure, it feels better to quote-unquote win, and it's still the journey.
The teamwork, the journey,
of course, all of the
things that the experiences that they go through.
The presence they experience when they're doing those things.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to start. That's why this whole thing is called Where Is There. And there's so many theres that we have in our life. Like there's so many things that we think if we could just get there, we could answer that question, you know. And I'll certainly talk about them, you know. One is success. I don't even know what success is, but I know it's a there for so many people.
Sure.
If I could just be successful, man, I'd be there. For some people, it's having a family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, if I can just have a family, I'll be there. Some people, it's purpose. Gosh, if I could just figure out what my purpose was, I'd be there. I was me for years.
Mm.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time languishing in the world of not knowing what my purpose was. Well, I finally created it, and guess what? I'm still not there.
You're still not there.
I'm living in my purpose almost every day, and I still have moments where I'm not enough.
Sure.
Of course. There's others, you know, there's so many others, and we'll certainly cover some of those in this talk, but so I just wanted to lay that, you know, it's an important topic to me. It's foundational to me. Where is there? There is no there.
Yeah.
What if I just let go of that? Believing there was some place to get that I'm not. When really, it's here is the only place that I ever need to be. And, you know, it's such a challenge to be in this moment as it is, Jay.
Yeah.
So many challenges to stay present. And trying to get to a place that doesn't exist is probably one of the biggest distractions that we create in our lives. And again, I just want to say one more time, the irony is you're always enough when you're in this moment.
Do you think this is a commercial thing that has been established or created in our culture?
No, I don't. I think it's been going on since the first cognitive thought we had as humans. You know, so it's a great question, but here's what I'd say about that. As I look down at my chocolate lab right now, who's sleeping, I don't think she ever has any thought of whether she's enough or not.
Right, right.
She doesn't judge her enoughness based on her sister's ability to retrieve the ball better than she does.
Right.
Right? It's a very human thing, and I think it's been going on since we became prescient beings.
Yeah.
I think it's just what it is. It's the gig. And I want to try to apply some humor to this whole thing in the sense that it's funny that we spend most of our time trying to answer a question that has no answer. That's funny to me. That's damn funny, actually. I mean, and it shows up in so many ways. And it holds us back. And it's held me back so many times. I've played so small because of the fear I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the cost.
Mm-hmm. We get caught up.
Yeah.
In that elusive there. Of whatever that is, whether when the new phone comes out and I have it, I'll be there.
Oh, God, yeah, there's a great one.
Okay,
right there,
right? You know, my life's not great because my phone's too slow.
Right.
You know.
Or my car. Or, yeah, those guys driving the Porsches, they must be there.
They got it figured out.
They have there. It all nailed.
Yes.
Not so much.
Yeah.
No. Again, and that's beautiful. I love that we're all grappling with this question. And I would just love to apply some humor to it. One of the things that, what's the consequence to this whole thing, am I enough, is it creates so much seriousness in humans. Like, it's a really serious gig. Like, I look around, there's so much seriousness to this thing called life.
Mm.
And that's, I guess, okay, but the problem with being serious is it constricts you. It constricts our blood, it constricts our love and affinity. We just become really constricted. it's a really serious gig to try to answer that question. It's very serious.
Well, we start framing all kinds of things that happen to us with that context. We start acting in certain ways to try to achieve that. And oftentimes come across very inauthentic.
Totally. It compromises our authenticity to be something that we're not really.
Yeah.
Instead of just being our divine selves and understanding, of course, that we're always enough. I can't say that enough. We are always enough.
So Todd, you've done a great job of explaining the meaning behind Where Is There? And it makes a lot of sense as to this whole podcast series, that being the title. Mm. After people listen to this, how can they begin to employ this in their life like today?
Yeah, great question. Thank you for that question, Jay. I guess I'd start with, again, the whole concept or context that awareness is the first point of choice. So this podcast in particular was created to create an awareness around what drives so much of our behavior, the quest to get to a place that doesn't exist called there, and really the quest to be enough, even though you're always enough. And so what can I do with this? First of all, I want to be able to choose out of upset more often. I want to look at what's triggering me. And if I'm aware that when somebody says something and it challenges my good enoughness, I can either take that on or I can just let it go and know that it's really not meant for me, like the simple example around driving. And so I can either go to upset and take it on that I'm not enough, or just really get that, you know, that my partner, my whatever in that case, had the best of intentions. And, you know, there's this concept that I've learned recently called a generous assumption. And one of the things that I think is really fun in the work environment and in the relationship environment is, what if I came with a generous assumption around all my interactions that really people aren't trying to challenge my good enoughness, that that's not what they're doing. They just have the best of intentions. What would that do for me if I was able to choose out of upset that way and really get that my spouse, my boss, my kids, my friends, they all have the best intentions for me. Why wouldn't they? And it's up to me to either have a generous assumption around that or not. And so that would be the other thing, is employ a generous assumption around communication and, you know, are they really challenging my enoughness here, or is it just an intention to be helpful? And, you know, so that's another thing.
There's also the personal aspect, like things that we're challenging ourselves to do. And
yeah.
And what does that look like in terms of, once we actually achieve that,
right,
recognizing that that's not necessarily there.
No, it's not there. I mean, again, we get there all the time. We just don't, there's no permanence to it. That's the thing. And the, you know, giving up the illusion that there is, that there's some place to get that's better than here. So, you know, that would be what I would say, to employ a perspective and knowing that we've spent a lot of our life trying to answer a question that has no answer, and giving that up, like, as best you can. I know that, and I still I can't give it up, Jay. I mean, I get that, but I've reduced that. I start to laugh at it a lot more when it shows up. And so that would be the other thing, is to employ humor. I'm a big believer in employing humor and lightheartedness to my upset, because to me, it's all kind of funny. It's all related to the same thing. Why am I upset? Because I'm either experiencing that I'm not good enough, or somebody's challenging my good enoughness. And how could that ever be true, really?
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what I would say.
Great. Todd, as always, this is another great episode. And till next week.
Till next week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.